Matthew chapter 19, we're going to look at verse 13. We won't look at but a couple of verses tonight. I honestly, just to be honest, thought about just really rushing through these couple, two or three verses and going on to the next subject. The next one certainly is going to take a while. And I thought, well, I just don't want to waste time and... I hate to even say it like that, but don't want to take up more time than I need to. It's better said, better meaning what I'm trying to get across. But these verses are just too good just to rush through. We're getting ready to look at something that just astounds me. It's one of those things that we can just read through. Brian mentioned last week, he's mentioned at least once in his devotions and about how so many times there's a verse that you can just rush through it and go to the next verse and almost miss the truths that are in the verse. And that is, I believe that's what we're looking at tonight. Look at verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Now, Matthew says he brought little children. In the book of Luke, he said that there were some infants involved. The word infant and the word little children, those words can mean both. They can mean little babies, really almost on to newborn. And it can mean on up to toddlers and even a little bit older than that. So there's really a mixture of ages here. They're all little. They're from infants on up. And they bring these little children to him. I think about someone brought them. There's no doubt most of them, if not all of them, were too small to come on their own. Most of them were so small that if they got there, it would be because they were just following the crowd, just toddling along. But most of them were so young they could not bring themselves. But someone brought them. We are not told who brought them. It's probably not that important, but it can be important. Now, there's no doubt that probably some parents brought their children. It's a blessing to have parents who are burdened over their children, that care about their young ones. Many don't in this world. If you watch commercials, if you watch TV, if you ride up and down the streets, if you know anything about the world today, you realize that there's some children that are treated horribly. Some that are abused outright, some that are neglected outright, some that are mentally abused, some that are physically abused, some even worse than that. But here we find somebody, listen, someone cared enough to bring them. I don't doubt at all that there were some parents involved, that they wanted their child to be blessed of the Lord. There's no doubt there's probably some uncles or some aunts that brought their nieces and nephews. There's no doubt there's some family members, maybe a sister brought her little brother or a brother-in-law brought his little sister. I don't know who, but I know this. Somebody cared enough to bring them to Jesus. They realized he was someone that could help them, even at that early age. And now, he says there that he should put his hands on them and pray. That was a Jewish custom. If you look back to Israel, and he was about to die, and he went to Esau's son and blessed them. And it talks about at least on some of them that he laid his hand on their head or he touched them. We find that custom often or somewhat often in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, the custom of laying the hand on someone. And they have brought these children to him to be blessed. I sure thought what a blessing that is. There are parents and grandparents that want to make sure their children and grandchildren get the best coach that's available. They have a talent, an ability to dribble a ball or throw a pitch or catch a pass, kick a soccer ball, and those parents or grandparents or those that's in charge of the children want to make sure they get the best coach that they can. I have a friend that has a daughter that's very talented physically, and he's spent a great deal getting her trained in her physical, in her recreation, in her game. And that's certainly, to be honest, in some ways it's okay. But my point is this, there's a whole lot of people, there's a whole lot of parents who want their children to go to the best school. They want them to be a businessman or a businesswoman, and they want the best background and the best training, and they want the best of the best. And to be honest, that's not really bad. It can be. All this stuff can be bad. There's parents that want the best for the children, whatever it is, and that's a good thing. But here's some parents and here's some people who want the real best thing. They want the Lord to touch them, their little children, their little infants. They want those children to get a good start. They want these children to be blessed by the Lord of blessings. Boy, what better thing could that be? I mean, really, what better start could you have than the God of heaven? Now, it's more than just a touch. It's more than just a pat on the head. It's more than, now you be a good little boy. It's more than that. He is dispensing blessings. There's no telling what happened there that day. There's no telling what life got started right. There's no telling what future was changed. No telling where some of those children would have gone had they not received this blessing. I'm telling you, something worked that day. He did something. He did more than, I said again, just patted them on the head and said, well, I got to get busy. I'm sorry I don't have time to spend more time with you, and walked on down the road. He blessed them. And as usual, the disciples didn't get it. It says the disciples rebuked them. It's amazing to me in some ways, and in some ways I understand, because they didn't get it. The disciples didn't get half of what Jesus did. And by the way, we don't either. We don't understand a lot of what God does. The disciples, I mean, you understand what I'm saying. Jesus is very busy. His calendar is full. He has no appointment times. There are no cancellations. And all these adults are coming who have crippled legs, and these adults come that are blinded. These adults come who have affliction. These adults come who are lost. These adults come who are needy, and they're bombarding Jesus all the time. So can you kind of understand how the disciples felt? Here comes some with little old bitty youngins, little old bitty babies, and they, in essence, are saying, he really doesn't have time for you. Don't bother him. They rebuked those that were bringing the children. And in essence, he was saying, could you please just hurry it along? That's what they were saying. They were trying to get rid of them. They thought they're too young to accept him. And probably most, if not all of them, were. They thought they're too little to serve him. And to some degree, they were right. And they thought they're too little to give. So right now, it'd be better just for them to move out of the way and let the important people come to the Lord, the ones that really need him right now. Now, those children later on, when they grow up, when they get older, they'll need him then. But right now, we just don't have time for them. They rebuked these people that brought these little children, and in essence are saying, why waste the master's time? There's already more adults than he can deal with. He didn't have time to waste. And I am so glad Jesus did not adapt this adult time, the adult-only attitude. Look in verse 14. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples, they're really trying to do what they think to be right or the best thing under the circumstances. They're just wanting these children to be hurried out of the way. And Jesus, the disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus is about to turn the table. He rebukes them, and he says to them, suffer little children. This adult first attitude wasn't Jesus' attitude. Mark tells us that Jesus was very displeased. It says, much displeased. Do you want to know what that really means? It means furious. I was reluctant to even say that. Thinking of Jesus being furious doesn't sound like his character. Mild, meek, timid Jesus. But he was upset. He was furious, not out of control. You know better than that. He's God. But he is much displeased with the disciples. And he was much displeased with them because he loved children. Those little babies, some of them probably weren't even focusing yet. Many of them couldn't even speak a word. Maybe most of them couldn't talk or couldn't walk. We do not know the age of any of them or the mentality or the maturity of any of them. But I know this, from newborn on up to at least toddler, a little bit older, there's a mixture of children being brought, and Jesus said, don't you tell them to not come. And he did that because he loves children. He loves children. You know what? He loves children. Jesus loves children. And he wanted, listen to me, even though many of those that he was dealing with and trying to help that day couldn't even comprehend what he was saying, he was wanting to be an influence in their lives before the world got a hold of them. He wanted to influence their lives before the world, before the devil, before their flesh got to raging. And as a little bitty child, he was trying to help out people who were little and small and young. He loved children. That's why when the disciples tried to stop people from coming and shoo them off, he said, don't you do that. And got furious about it. He loved children. But he also got furious. He also got much displeased because he loved parents. Those parents and family members that were bringing their little children, they weren't so dumb that they thought those children can make it without help from God. That's why they were bringing them. They wanted their child, their grandchild, their little family member to be blessed of God. And they wanted that blessing because they knew the alternative. They knew what was going to happen to that little child if they were not blessed of God. They was going to get out in that world. They was going to become a drunk. That little baby girl would become a prostitute if God doesn't help her. That little boy is going to become an alcoholic, a drunk. He's going to be worthless in life. If God doesn't bless that little baby, that little child, that parent knows that baby of mine needs God's blessing, and that's why I'm bringing him. And Jesus said to his disciples, don't you tell them to go away, because I love the parents. I don't want mom and dad of this little baby I'm holding to weep over this child when he gets older and breaks their heart, because they didn't have God's blessings. That little baby needs God now, and he'll need God when he gets older. And those parents need to know that God's the only hope they have. He loved those parents, and he didn't want them to see them brokenhearted in the years on ahead, because that child had walked away from the will of God. Nothing quite like the heartache of a broken parent over a wayward child. I sent my mama through misery for years. And I got repaid that a little bit along the way myself. I think God does have a sense of humor a little bit. we do get to pay for what we do. But Jesus said, don't you shoo them off, because I love the parents and I'm blessing their child. Now he's even as a little baby or a little bitty child, I'm blessing them now to where that parent won't have to weep later. Jesus got displeased because of the disciples trying to shoo him off, because he loved children, because he loved parents, and also because he loved his disciples. I know he was God, I understand, but I tell you what I would think if I had been Jesus. I would think, do you fellas ever, are you ever going to understand? Are you ever going to get it? He had poured his life into these fellas, and it seems like they haven't learned a thing. Because, listen, he came as a man for this little baby just as much as the adult. He came to die for this little toddler just as much as the grandparent that brought the little toddler. And these disciples, they need to learn that. They need to see that. So he said to them, I'm telling you something. You fellas need to learn something today. Quit chasing them away. He loved the disciples, and he wanted to teach them something. He wanted them to learn. Notice what he says. Suffer, little children. It literally means to allow. Here's what it means, to open your hands, to let in. If you have a toddler, if you have a little child that can get to you through walking or running, when they come toward you, you have an option of stopping them and hindering them or opening your arms and allowing them. That's what Jesus said, suffer them. Let them come. Allow them to come to me. But he also said, forbid them not. That literally means stop hindering them. He says, look here, watch this. He says, do this and don't do that. Open your arms and never put your hands out to stop them. In the Greek, it literally means, in the Greek tense, it means let them come and don't ever, ever stop them again. Literally, that's what it means. Let them come and never, ever stop them again. He's pretty emphatic about what he's saying. Now, there's no doubt that Jesus' response to this situation surprised many of those that were watching. Because, to be honest, in the Jewish society, children were not that special. They were... They knew a gift of God, from God, and they knew they could be a blessing to them or a burden. But to be honest, children were not treated with a whole lot of respect or honor. The adults were the ones that were recognized. And now Jesus, in essence, is saying, that little baby is just as important to you, to me, as you are, Grandpa. Your little grandchild is just as important to me as you are, Grandmama. So it kind of, I'm sure, sort of shocked the people around. And then he noticed what he said. For such is the kingdom of heaven. Boy, this verse has been used and misused and abused. He said, let them come, don't stop them. Because of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, he is simply saying this, and I'll explain a little bit. Here's what he's saying. Of such, these little children, when they get old enough to understand, will be able to enter the family of God. Remember who's writing this. Remember who Jesus is talking to. He's talking to Jews. Matthew is a Jew writing to Jews about a Jew, remember? And the kingdom of heaven is not heaven itself. He's talking about the kingdom. He's been talking about the kingdom the whole book, which is the millennium to us. which is the family of God, so to speak. And he says this, these kind of children are the kind that get in the family. These are the kind of children, these are the kind of people who need the family. These are the kind of human beings who need to be forgiven. Don't stop them from coming to the one person who can provide their forgiveness. Such is the kingdom of heaven. He is not saying that there's little babies and toddlers in heaven. He's not saying that. And the reason he's not saying that is because more than likely there's not little babies and toddlers in heaven. Need to remember. Now we look at it a human realm. And I understand that. We, especially little children that die early, we think early, and sure it seems early if they die at an early age. We want them to be that way when we get to heaven. But what about Granny who died at 99 and can't even get out of bed? Is she going to look like Granny and can't get out of bed when we get to heaven? I sure hope not. Heaven is a place of perfection. Heaven is a place of perfection spiritually, emotionally, mentally. But heaven is a place of perfection physically. So whatever the perfect body is, that's what we'll have when we get to heaven. That means if they die as an infant, when they get to heaven and we get our glorified bodies, that body will be a perfect body. That means if they die at 99 and can't even walk and blind and can't hear, when they get to heaven, they will also have that perfect body. When we get to heaven, everybody's going to have a perfect body. We can't have both. You can't. So Jesus is saying, these little ones are the kind that can be saved, that can be birthed into the family and can be birthed into the kingdom. But he's not saying that this is a kind that's in heaven now. In fact, John says in 1 John 3:2, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I don't know what the perfect body is. Some say around 30 years old, and that's mostly or somewhat because he was about 30 to 33 when he left this world. I don't know if that's so or not, but whatever the perfect body is, the complete body, the perfect body, that's the kind of body we're going to have, only a whole lot better. It'll be perfect. It'll be glorified. So let's go on. Jesus' comment raises a question, though. What about the little ones who die? What about the infants who die? What about the little toddlers who die? What about the mentally challenged, to be honest, who die that may be 30, 40 years old but have the mental capacity of a 2 or 3 year old? What happens to them? Well, I believe the Bible's clear enough. Now, there is no verse. If you want to find a verse, if you find it, will you show it to me? Because I haven't found it. I don't think there is a verse. But we do need to do this. We cannot go by emotions. We can't get all sentimental. We got to go by what the Bible says. What about the infants? What about the little bitty children who die? Before they even know about salvation, before they even hear about the gospel, if somebody told them the gospel, they couldn't comprehend it. What about them? Where do they go? Well, they go to heaven. And the reason that there is what we call the age of accountability. I think that's a good term. It's not the best, maybe. But it's the age when we become accountable to God for our spiritual condition. And when we're considering this question, we got to first keep in mind the character of God. We're talking about a God who's going to do right. Whatever he's designed, it's right. If it's contrary to what I want or what I think right or not, he still did right. By the way, I think what he did is just fine. I think it's real good. But we have to keep in mind the character of God. God surely does do right, and God loves children. And to be honest, he wants all of them in heaven, but he wants all of us in heaven. And all of us ain't going. Now, don't misunderstand that. I'm just simply saying, here's what I'm saying. Just because they're a child doesn't necessarily mean, okay, well, God's just going to let them in. Now, don't misunderstand that. My point is this. God is holy, and he cannot just ignore their sin. That's what I'm saying. Now, don't get ahead of me. When we consider this question, we got to keep in mind that all are sinners. Even babies are sinners. Even newborns are sinners. I go further than that. When they're conceived in the womb, they are sinners. They are not free of the guilt and the corruption of the Adamic nature. Did you hear that? They are not free of the guilt and the corruption of the Adamic nature. It's a whole lot easier to say than I'm making it. In other words, they just like us have the old nature in us, which makes us a sinner. We are born sinners. That's what the Bible says. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He also said, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. We are born sinners. And God can't just ignore the sin. And so far, it doesn't sound too good, does it? Except for one thing. God is a God of mercy. And God's, I'll just tell you what I believe. Tell you what I think the Bible teaches. God extends mercy to the little ones who cannot comprehend the gospel. That can be extended to somebody who may be 50 years old. I say it again, that is mentally challenged. And I can't comprehend if they can understand or not. That's beyond me. But until they come to what we call the age of accountability, God's mercy protects them. It does not mean they aren't sinners. It does not mean they don't deserve hell. It does not mean God ignores their sin. That's what I tried to say a few minutes ago. Not too well, by the way. But it means God's mercy covers them because they can't comprehend. If somebody witnessed to them, they couldn't understand it. And I say that for a couple of reasons. One thing, of course, you know where I'm going. 2 Samuel 12:23, David prayed for his son. The son died, the baby died. And here's what David said, but now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. A little baby. Little baby, probably days old, David said. Now listen, this is not just some sentimental daddy that's got a broken heart just uttering words that he hopes right, just making a wish in the air. This is God's word. You understand that? And David said, I can't bring him back, but I can go to be with him. Tells me that little baby was already with the Lord at that time in paradise. We'd still call it heaven. David said, now some people have said, well, David's not talking about heaven. He's just talking about the grave. Well, that's just plumb dumb. Here's what he said. I shall go to him. There's no doubt he's talking about, if you want to call it a reunion. He ain't just talking about going to the grave. He's talking about going to heaven. That little baby's in heaven. And I'm convinced that means that God's mercy covers those who are too young, too little, those who are incapable of discerning the gospel. Now, there are some people who say, when is the age of accountability? Some people say, well, it's 12 years old. And they say it's 12 years old because Jesus went to the temple at 12 years old. Well, I don't see how in the world they make that connection. That is grasping for straws. Plus, I just don't think 12 years old, mentally, intellectually, most people have developed enough to discern the gospel a long time before 12 years old. So I don't buy this 12 years old stuff. Some people say that when a child is the age or the ability to know right from wrong, then they become accountable. I don't agree with that. I promise you, our children, when they were little, they'd crawl up. Did you hear me? Crawl up to the TV and put their hand up there, and we'd go like that and stop them. Next time they crawled up there, here's what they did. Look, where we was at, knowing they were doing wrong. They knew it was wrong. But they could never have understood the gospel. They weren't able to get saved. Now, here's my opinion. I believe it's a good one. Whatever age it is, whatever mental, intellectual state where a child gets to where, if they heard the gospel presented clearly, they could comprehend it, they could understand it. I think that's the age of accountability. Now, I think that makes sense. You don't have to agree. I wish you would, because I think it's right. For some people, that, to be honest, that may be 4 years old. For some, that may not be even when they're 50. But when they, if somebody could take the gospel and present it clearly to that child and they understand it intellectually, they can get it. They are accountable. And I believe that's the age. And for every child, it'd be a different age because everybody develops differently. Let me mention a couple of things. I thought this was going to be short. We're talking about babies dying. I thought about this, abortion. I'm convinced the soul is created at conception. I believe the Bible teaches that. So if there's an abortion, that means there's a soul, there's a life that's ended. I have no doubt, that baby, that person, goes straight to heaven. And abortion's horrible, and I'll not comment on that other than it's horrible, it's a sin. But I want to tell you one thing, there are millions of people in heaven. My abortion. What about miscarriage? Families go through the heartbreak of hoping and praying, the baby's coming, and a miscarriage happens. Same thing. What about children, maybe even America, but in other countries for sure, that starve to death? There's a little bitty child, or even as an infant, they go to heaven. I tell you, a lot of this heartache and heartbreak, this heart-wrenching, and we don't even want to discuss it or look at it, it sure is a blessing to know that God has just taken them on to heaven. And they've escaped this heartache of a world. Hey, it's not right. It's not good. There's no way to say it is. But I want to tell you one thing. The outcome's good because they're with God. They didn't have to weep. They didn't have to hurt. God just took them on to heaven with Him. That ain't good, but it ain't bad either. Notice verse 15. And He laid His hands on them and departed thence. He could have said, I ain't got time. I don't have time. I'm heading to the cross. Don't mess with me, youngins. Don't bother with me, Daddy. Leave me alone, Mama. But He laid hands on them, which means He blessed them. He imparted a blessing on them. I can hear some of those blessings being worded like this. This child's heading toward a heartache. Father, I'm asking You to stop it. I'm asking You to trick the devil. Don't let the trap work. Instead of heartache and heartbreak and sin, turn this life around and use this child for Your glory. Save it at an early age and use it for God's glory. I had that, those blessings are worded like that. Well, I had some points to ponder, but I won't deal with them. I'll mention them to you. Each child needs forgiveness. Even children need forgiveness. Number two, we need to recognize the importance of getting children to Jesus. We need to recognize the importance of getting children to Jesus. 85% of the people that are saved got saved between the ages of 4 and 14. 10% of those that got saved between the ages of 15 and 30. And only 4% of those that are saved got saved after the age of 30. It's vitally important that we reach our children. Another point to ponder, Jesus does have a plan for children. He has a plan for that child. Well, I want to tell you one thing. My life is a roller coaster mess of absolute chaos, but God had a plan for me. And that plan started when I was born in that little hospital in Bridgeton, North Carolina, Newbern, North Carolina, really. And then I'll leave it like this. Family life is vitally important for children. Every time this is mentioned, remember what Jesus dealt with before? Divorce and wrecked homes. And right after that, he dealt with little children. He's trying to show us how important it is that we raise our children as he designs. A happy child cannot be happy if they don't have a godly family. That's just it, pure and simple.